It's time for Mac Break Weekly. You may wonder why I'm putting on this costume. It's our Halloween edition. And guess what? Rene Ritchie has an iPhone 10. His review and my complaints about the way review units were handed out all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 582, recorded Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. Did you get yours yet? Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/MacBreak. And by WordPress. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off your brand new website today at wordpress.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest Macintosh news. Here joining me today, and you may wonder, why does Leo look like this? Unless you're listening, in which case I sound exactly the same. I look like this because it's Halloween. Joining us right now, all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, it's Mr. Andy Inoko of the Chicago Sun-Times. He is... Hello. So it's not Marcel Marceau.
No, no, we're just... It's just
the number three and a paintbrush. That should give it away?
Gonna paint a three.
You gotta paint a three. You are...
I think someone's going to get it, and I think that I don't want to disappoint this person who gets it.
Okay, so we'll let the chat room guess.
It is Deep Catalog.
Somebody's saying Clockwork Orange?
Nope.
You know Sam Downey? You do? Who is it? Oh, he doesn't know. He's trying to think. Rene Ritchie, also here from the fabulous iMore.com. Rene's too busy in New York City looking at the new iPhone 10. To actually be worried about Halloween.
Wait, Leo, no. I've come dressed as an iPhone 10.
Oh, here we go. He's got it in his hand.
I am now, this is my costume.
That's actually an excellent costume. Excellent costume. Wow.
Happy Halloween.
So, Apple and I know, Andy, you defended them on your Twitter. I think they did a very interesting thing. Certainly nothing that's not okay. They're a company that can do whatever they want. And the people they seed iPhones with, it's completely their decision. But they did do something, I think, that's more aggressively... I want to use the word manipulative. I won't use the word manipulative because that implies that journalists can be manipulated. But let's say more aggressively favoriting some than others this time out. With the iPhone 10, some people, one person, Stephen Levy, I think, is the only one who got it, and his embargo was lifted on Monday.
A day early, yeah.
So he got the first review in Wired magazine. And by the way, I should say all the reviews have been very positive, as one would expect. You said it's the best product Apple's ever made, I think, Rene Ritchie. Was that, am I quoting you properly?
Yeah, it's my favorite. It's my favorite gadget since the original iPhone.
Very nice.
It's just so much fun to use.
You got it. You got the embargo lifted today, as did everybody.
Yes.
Nilay Patel from The Verge, everybody. BuzzFeed, yep. Nicole Nguyen. Oddly enough, so some people, okay. So what were the, so
it's complicated,
some people,
Leo.
Matthew Panzerino of TechCrunch, Stephen Levy, and a few have had it for a week.
I think Lance Ulanoff and I think
Lance
Buzz
Ulanoff from Mashable. Feed, and Nicole Wen from BuzzFeed.
Yeah, from BuzzFeed. Had I think they had it longer. Yeah.
Now, Stephen Levy said, well, I got it because I was one of the four that got the original iPhone, except I must point out David Pogue and Ed Begg, who also were among the four, did not. So I don't think it has anything to do with that with Stephen. In fact, it's fun to read the tea leaves about what Apple was up to. Some people, and John Gruber was really upset about this, some kind of lesser-known blogs like a fashion YouTube fashion group and High Snobiety.
We call them the Lifestyle, Leo, the Lifestyle Channel.
Yeah, High Snobiety. I looked at the High Snobiety review on YouTube, and it would be my sense that they did not get it to take home, that they got to go to a briefing and they were allowed to videotape a review at the briefing.
That's what a lot of the YouTube videos that went live yesterday looked like. They looked like almost like a special hands-on area.
Do you recognize that hands-on area?
I may or may not recognize that hands-on
area.
You
can't
area,
even talk
certain.
About it?
No, I'm not certain, so I don't want to get it wrong.
Okay.
Because there's all these like YouTube spaces and there's all these places that it could be. And I might say something the next time it's on Business Insider.
So as far as I can tell, their entire review takes place inside this brick-lined Apple table.
That looks like an Apple table. I have no inside knowledge, but that.
Well, it's
looks
also
like
the charger does. That the Belkin charger that Apple, or I think it's Belkin, or is it Mophie? Yeah. That Apple's. Now, Andy, let me ask you: did you get an iPhone?
Nope, and what I tweeted this morning after seeing that there was some sort of a ruckus online. I promise you, I didn't read anybody's reviews. I didn't read anybody else's commentary. But some people seem to be bent out of shape that some people got it and not others. That what's Apple playing at, or what does that mean? And I felt the need to remind people that it's who gets seeded with hardware early or even on ship date has nothing to do with prestige. It has nothing to do with anything except for, this is a marketing decision. They have a limited number of phones to distribute, literally. I mean, it's not like they can just go into the warehouse and grab 100. It's like, no, they are assigned 12, let's say, or 8 to give to people in advance. And there is a mission for those 8 to 12 phones to fulfill. And so every single launch, there is a different priority or a different mission that marketing has in mind. Like, what can we do if we give?
Do you think, though, that marketing? Of course. Although I've never seen Apple so aggressively parse it this way. It's so detailed.
I think we're in a transition era because it wasn't uncommon before for just the biz pubs. Like, there have been years where there were only four or five and it was exactly who you'd think. It was Wall Street Journal and New York Times and the very traditional
original
papers.
iPhone,
and
I think USA Today.
The audience is changing and Apple and many companies are trying to figure it out because now you have YouTube influencers.
Google was with a Pixel was very clearly catering favor with the YouTube people. And it seems that Apple's doing the same thing as well.
Yeah, that was another point that I wanted to make, that if you've got two people that have roughly the same audience, maybe you're wasting one of those phones by giving both by giving them to those two people. You want to find some. You want to give one to the tech journalist who has 5 million followers, but you don't want to give it to a second tech journalist who has 5 million followers. You want to use that phone to give to someone who's got a really good fashion blog, or you give it to the person that has a really good presence in Asia. It again, every one of those phones has a mission, and there's always a target for whatever they do with those 8 to 12 phones. So it's not about the fact that someone got a phone and someone didn't doesn't mean anything, again, positive about D'Artagnan or negative about Alyosha. It's again, you don't question the
I'm
motives.
I'm not assuming that
the motives of the Sphinx are impenetrable and inscrutable. It's best to leave that question alone.
Okay. But Apple is clearly using access, and by the way, everybody does it. It's called beltway journalism because it's done to a T in Washington. But Apple's using access to favor some and not others. And what was interesting is John Gruber very much felt put out by this. He's well known for carrying Apple's water. He was one of the five invited to the iMac apology, along with Matthew Panzerina, who got an iPhone, and Ina Fried at Axios, who got an iPhone. Apparently he didn't, and he's a little snarking here.
Well, Ina didn't. It was someone else at Axios, and they let their nephew.
No. Okay, so I think it was Ina's.
Ina got one yesterday, but the person who got it the week ahead.
Oh, Mike Allen? Mike Allen, who writes a very popular, by the way, Axios daily newsletter, morning newsletter. And Mike didn't bother reviewing it. He gave it to his high college freshman nephew, Anders, for and talked about him using the emoji to which John Gruber wrote, "Thank God Apple seated Mike Allen with an iPhone 10 review unit. Such great insight from his effing nephew, the emoji expert." And then he does the same thing. "Thank God Apple seated fashion with a review unit. Thank God Apple seated these insightful critics." He's talking about high snobiety with a review unit. I'm guessing that John at the time, I think he's got one now, but John at the time had not been offered a review unit and is a little miffed. And I don't blame him because he is, after all, one of the foremost Apple journalists. Jim Dalrymple at Loop Insight got a review unit. But then there's review units and there's review units. Some people got them for a week. Some people, apparently, Nilay Patel, who hasn't always been positive about Apple and the iPhone, got his, he says, for a day. He has to turn it back in. He has one 24-hour period to review it.
Well, it wasn't for a day. The embargo was the next day.
No, his video said he has to give it back in a day.
That would be unusual.
Well, of course, he's probably going to get one Friday, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Marte in the chat room says, what a bunch of babies. But this is not, okay, some of this is people saying, well, I should have had one. But I think also the point that I'm making is that you as a reader, as a consumer of reviews, should have this data as well. Because Apple is, I think, very much trying to, weigh in on who gets one, who doesn't. Remember, one of the reasons I refuse review units and embargoes and NDAs is because I know myself that I don't want to have a relationship with companies that I'm reviewing their units. I don't like the pressure from the companies, but also because I want to be a nice guy. However subtle, there's always the influence to be nice in a review because you know them. So I keep everybody at arm's length.
That's only if you're a dope. That's only if you're incompetent. You're doing stuff of no. I'm saying that you've got a responsibility as a journalist to do your freaking job. No, I'm saying that anybody who believes that if you get review hardware or early access that gives you some sort of obligation to be nice, you're not doing your job. You're not being a journalist. You're just being some dude with a backwards baseball cap on YouTube, and you should aspire to be something better than that.
But again,
I don't know the names of people that they gave the phones to. So again, I'm not targeting this at any one person, but it's a good thing if someone who's never had access to the hardware before gets access for the first time. The only problem becomes when, again, someone decides to not do their jobs and say that I want to protect. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel really, really important to get early access to hardware. I believe that if I play nicely, that will mean that I will definitely get early access the next time. And that's
but
not
you understand
true.
The stakes it, here time- because if The Verge is scooped by Engadget or Gizmodo, that's a lot of page views. That's a lot of money that they've lost. That's a lot of prestige they've lost. And so there are high stakes here, and these companies do not want to be left out of this game. And I would submit that they're very aware about why Apple gives people phones, and they're going to be very circumspect in future.
Then that will show in their work, okay? I mean, it's not something that will be invisible to...
How would you know?
I could give you names, but I won't.
I'm saying that
there are people who are looking for information about, okay, how does Face ID actually work in broad sunlight? Is it slippery in the hand? Is the screen readable from multiple angles? And then there are people who are going to look at one of these early reviews and see if it's 900 words they're able to pump out in the 24 hours they had, 450 of them is like, here's how excited it was. I was ushered into a back room and shown to an absolute table and offered like this isn't about how wonderful it was for you to get early access to the phone. Tell me something that's actually valuable.
Let me just say that this is what
ticks me off sometimes about some early reviews that the entire world of consumers who are lined up to get their new iPhone, they have only access to like whatever 8 people who have who can publish something today on what the experience was like, and if 4 of those are thrown away by what with videos and articles about how wonderful it was that they got this special access, that's a waste of time, and that will be in print, that will be on video, that will be there forever. And again, I'm saying I will not name any names because there's not any point to that. But in the past, I have, after I filed my own review or at least got my first impressions out, I will then go back and take a look what other people thought. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're really talking about like how cold the water was in the room. I'm not quoting anybody here. I'm making things up here. But it's like that. These people are dopes. And these people should, consumers are smart enough to know.
Let me interrupt you, Andy, because we only have a 2-hour show.
I want to get my stuff in because then Renee is going to start talking about the iPhone 10, and that's when I start working on my Lego kit here for an hour because there's nothing. that's a lovely time for him to say.
And I am glad Renee got one because I think that my only concern is the harm to readers who may not necessarily understand the access game that's being played here, just as it's played in Beltway politics. What I also think is harmful is that there are many, many reviews now out based on a very short time frame, like Neelai's reviews on 10 hours. And I think there's a great many features of this phone that we really won't know whether it's worthy. It's a very expensive phone, whether it's worthy for a week or two. For instance, how Face ID changes over time. If there is a screen burn and issue, it won't show up right away. There are lots of things that we won't know right away, and I think it's a disservice and I think Apple cultivates this. Is I guess my only point.
Okay. I'll say this in brief. That this is the last thing that I would really want to say about this. That I don't want to hear Apple blamed for this because this is the journalist's fault. I appreciate the difficulty that a site like Gizmodo is in, where they are racing to get the first clicks. They're racing to get placement in Google searches. I understand that, but that's how they decided to run their business. Everybody can get access to an iPhone by waiting up until 3 a.m. on a certain day. They will get one on ship day, and they can start their coverage then if they want. If they don't
actually
think that doing a good review
I am going to give you a real conspiracy theory. Lisa and I, in exactly the same environment, tried to buy on the iOS store T-Mobile phones. At exactly the same time, she was able to get in and buy her phone. I was not, and never got into the iOS store.
I got in with one phone and not the other, Leo. I had two phones in front of me, and one the store came up.
Maybe it's just a random account thing. They're just picking random accounts out of a hat. But the fact that I'm not going to get an iPhone until the 17th at the earliest, I don't know.
That's fine. All I'm saying is that
I would caution consumers to wait first, especially on a product that's a first of its kind, to wait not for the first day reviews. I would wait. Well, fortunately, you have to if you're ordering today. I would wait a month and see what happens. Because
my only goal for getting that review done into the circumstance that I was able to do it is that I know there are people who are waiting to order to get it before Christmas or the holidays. And I know there are people who have pre-ordered just in case and were trying to figure out if they were going to cancel it or take it back.
Yeah, we have time to cancel.
And I think it's my only job is to give them all the information that I can so they can make the best decision they can. And it sucks I didn't have more time with the phone. But I'm also a grown-ass reviewer, and I spent a month interviewing and talking and studying and learning everything I could about the technology so I could make the most of the time.
But you will not know, and many will not know, for a couple of weeks. You may come back 2 weeks from now and say, hey, guess what? There are problems.
Yeah, the only mitigation is that people have been having them on open carry for over a month, some people for several months. So there are iPhone 10s out there that have been in use for long periods of time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so those are the reviewers you trust.
some things you can look at.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Apple's. I do not deny Andy Apple's right to do this. In fact, it's probably in their interest to do this. I just caution people that this is a game being played, and so if you're deciding to spend $1,149. On a phone plus $279 on Apple Care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it might be worth waiting till after Christmas before you.
I don't believe I'm being naive about this, but I do think that the quality of an in-depth review, even there, and Renee makes exactly the right point. Again, there are people who need information this week.
That's true.
Even if it's just based on one day's worth of hands-on stuff, I believe that Renee is in that club of people that can that can make it very clear that in the context of I have not had this for an entire month, you'll see a much more in-depth review by me and many more hands and eye more in the weeks after it's reviewed. But if you need information as of October 31st, 2017, here is the value of the information that I have. I just want to make sure that that Apple marketing is doing the job of Apple marketing. They shouldn't, and I don't fault them for that. I do fault the journalists who decide that getting what they will claim to be an important review out after essentially time in the demo room, let alone just one day in the field with it, that's on them. And if they are in a business where they can't make money off of what they do, and that upsets them, I mean, I made that choice a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I really made a hard reevaluation of what would I like to do better, what annoys me, what's hindering me. And one of them was the rush to get something out in 2 or 3 days when it's like I've been sitting on this for all weekend. I've been sitting on this for a week. I don't feel like I really understand this yet. I'm going to take another few weeks. And yes, that costs me some here and there, but it's the job that I want to do, and I hope that that's reflected in the quality of the work that I do. So,
Do you agree with my premise that Apple is being more aggressive than I can remember them ever being in terms of doling it out?
No.
What?
I wouldn't say so.
I don't remember, for instance, variable embargoes. They've never done that before. The embargo for those who got the phones was all the same time. Stephen Levy got a 24-hour head start. I don't remember some people getting a day, some people getting a week. I don't remember that.
Because
this is new. This is Apple being much more aggressive.
This is 2017. This isn't 2007. Okay. And also, may I say, we don't know how many actual pieces of hardware they had available to send out to people. It's possible that they couldn't send out 8 or 10 for 2 weeks. It's possible that they could send these things out for one day at a time and make sure they get these damn things back because they are needed elsewhere.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that there are a lot of when I have to confront situations where I realize that there are a lot of variables that I can put letters next to, but I can't define them. And when it comes to how any large company allocates advanced hardware, I have no idea. I talk to some people behind the scenes, especially after they leave, and they tell me about how they did something for a certain launch in 2014, but I don't know what was on that whiteboard in 2017. And once again, the Sphinx is inscrutable. It is best not to do your job as best you can. It's not my job to figure out why Apple is allocating iPhone 10s the way they have. It's my job that whenever I get mine, to do the best job I can and give my focus is always on writing a review that will be valuable not only the day I publish it, but 6 months after I publish it. And that's completely within my power to do, whether Apple gives me one 2 weeks in advance or whether I have to wait until December for a ship date.
Okay. We disagree.
That's all I meant to say.
We'll take a break. No, we'll come back, and I want to get Renee Ritchie's review of the iPhone 10. a first look, right? First one. How long have you had it for, Renee?
About just over a day.
Fair enough. And I know you'll be writing more about it. How many? But you've already written how many words?
The review is 10,000 words.
10,000 words.
Again, that was a month of prep for 24 hours of work.
You stayed up late. All right, dude. We'll get all the details.
That's after a big weekend, too. You're the Iron Man of journalism this particular day, Renee.
So it's okay that you don't have a Halloween costume. That's what we're saying.
I have Star Wars shoes. I have Star Wars shoes, Leo.
That's all we ask.
You got white curtains behind you. You could do a half-assed ghost. At least that would be something.
Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. I am I'm dressed today as a banker. So put yourself in, you need a home loan. You go to the bank, and the banker says, "Well, where's your paperwork?" And then goes through a sheaf of loans to find the one right for you. And maybe we'll be back to you in a month, sir. Thank you for visiting. That is not the way to do it. And, of course, bankers no longer dress like this, if ever. Quicken Loans has a much better way. They realize that the mortgage approval process really wasn't keeping up with the times. They've decided to completely computerize it, to do a client-focused technological revolution. No wonder. I mean, Quicken Loans has always been known as customer first, J.D. Power customer satisfaction, number one for years. So they created Rocket Mortgage, an entirely online mortgage approval process that lets you do it all, understand all the details, be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's easy, too. You go online. You can do it on your phone, on your tablet, on the web. Just go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak, and you can apply without going to the attic for paperwork, without contacting your bank. They'll do it for you. They have trusted partners with all the financial institutions. All you have to do is give them permission. And then they crunch the numbers instantly based on your income, assets, and credits and give you the home loan right for you. You get to see it happen. You get to choose your down payment, the term, the rate, all of it. And then, boom, you're approved. In minutes. In minutes. Not only does it say you're approved on the screen, you can download an approval letter you can send to the realtor or print out and bring to your next open house. I can't tell you how magical that is to have that pre-approval in your hand. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Look how fast that was. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, then mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. That's rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. So I have purchased to date 3 iPhones. I might be buying another one. I'm thinking I'm now I have to get in line on a Thursday, right? Or maybe Wednesday. I'm going to have to see.
Oh, yeah.
I might get in line because some of the Apple stores will have some, although Apple warned, get in line. Lisa gets hers. Megan Maroney's getting hers Friday. So we'll have one in house and we could show it on Saturday on the new screensavers. That's nice. My wife gets hers a week from Friday on the 10th and I get mine on the 17th. But I might have to buy, and so I bought all 3 of those. I might have to buy a 4th one by getting in line. At least I could cancel one of them by getting in line. Renee, as you said, you did a lot of prep work. You knew what you were, you saw it at the event. Mm-hmm. So this isn't even the first time you saw an iPhone 10, but it must have felt good. Did you go to a briefing in New York City? Is that why you're in the Big Apple?
Yeah. So you basically get to hear, you know, their perspective on the phone, then you get the phone to review, and then it's ready, set, go, and you have, regardless of how long the embargo is, you have until embargo time to file your review. And
you don't have to file it then. You could file it later, but of course, file it then.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a whole tangent, but the way that the internet is set up, especially with Google, that it the value of it is just. It's so much more if you have – it's sort of like it's a really hot day and everybody's super thirsty. And if you open up your drink stand 2 days later, you know, there's no customers left for it. So, like, you if at all possible. Like, I have been late on embargoes. I have, you know, just not had time to do the job that I was proud of. But this one I prepped really hard for and I thought I could do a good job at it. So I went full tilt ahead, Leo.
Yes. I don't blame you. Have you gotten any sleep?
No.
You've been up all night.
Not since I left Rhode Island. No, sir.
OMG. All right.
Again, and I happen to know that he had a very, very busy weekend as well. This was bad, bad, bad timing.
And to make my life extra tough is the storm took out the train. So I had to run to the bus and then try to get the bus to get here on time and then Lyft from the bus to. Yeah.
Now, how did they let you know that you were going to get to see one? When did you get that invite?
It varies. So, like, at some point, someone will say, you know, we're doing an embargo for this. I have never had the luxury of having a long embargo for anything. So I sort of, you know, originally, there's times when I've just not been invited and I've had to go and line up and buy an iPhone and then try to do something in whatever time I had. And there have been stuff where it's been day of, you know, you get it and there's no embargo. So it's just go, go, go. You know, and there's sometimes when it's 24 hours. So it all varies.
Are you willing to tell us when you got the word?
I don't remember. You know, to be honest with you, I don't remember this. Okay. I went to the wedding. I sold my car.
Okay, we should mention Serenity got married on Saturday.
Yeah. On Sunday. She got married on Sunday. She came out to Rogue One and she danced on roller skates. And all of this has been filling my head for the last 40 years.
So you were in Rhode Island for that.
Yes.
But it turned out convenient. Did you know when you came down to Rhode Island, you would be then heading over to New York City for a brief?
Right before the wedding. And Apple is not – like there is some – I don't know how other companies work because I primarily cover Apple. And I know I've heard how Google works because we have Android Central and things, but I don't recall. Again, my brain's not working too great right now.
Sorry.
Apple – I believe Apple is notorious for not giving a lot of time, heads up for these things, events for anything.
Did you see both a gray and a silver one?
At the event, they had both gray and silver ones, and at the hands-ons, they've had both gray and silver ones.
Okay. And which do you like better?
I ordered a gray one and I have a silver one. The silver one I like because from an angle it looks like the original iPhone.
It does.
It's just such a homage to it. But the black one is I'm so superficially. The black one looks like my watch and it's got a similar coating. So I was just like, it'll match.
Well, no, that's you got to have some reason. Other thing is you put it in a case almost immediately.
I don't use cases on my iPhones.
Now, well, that's one question I have, especially given that these are going to be the most expensive iPhones ever to repair.
Yes.
$279 to replace the screen?
If you don't have Apple Care Plus, yeah. OLED display. I tried to find it because there's like I'm sure there are Samsung stores, but I couldn't
good
find
luck finding them. Yeah.
But iFixit was for a Galaxy phone. It was like $300 a panel, and for other OLED phones, it went from $250 to $350 depending on the vendor. So like, these panels are expensive.
Yeah. Okay. Does it feel more breakable? Because it kind of feels like it might be a little bit more fragile.
It feels like an iPhone 8 to me. I mean, okay. There's very little difference. So I have the iPhone 8 here, and I'll pull them back so you can see them. But from the back, I mean, they're very, very similar.
So, and we should point out, it's bigger than the 8, but smaller than the Plus, 8 Plus.
It's very slightly bigger than the 8, not very much at all. Let me see if I can hold them like that. It's almost identical, but the screen is roughly the size of a 8 Plus.
Now, that was one thing that Neil said in his Verge review, is that it's deceptive because... even though it's a 5.8-inch screen, bigger than the 8 Plus, there's less usable area because of the notch and controls at the bottom.
Yeah, so there's a very aggressive rounding. Let me turn it on. It's a very aggressive rounding for the...
Oh, look, he's looking at it.
Yeah.
Does that Face ID work well for you?
It is so it is so good. I have not had one enrolled on my face before.
Right.
I've seen it used, and I've seen it used really fast. But the enrollment process is so much faster than Touch ID. And it wasn't until I launched 1Password. I just tapped the 1Password icon. It came up unlocked and was ready to use, like before I even realized what happened. And suddenly it felt like using Touch ID was almost like an encumbrance to me.
Yeah.
That's how quickly I got lazy. It is so fast. It is almost, I don't know the word is, like unbelievably fast when you start using it.
Yeah.
Suspiciously fast?
No, it's just I haven't used it for long enough that I know it's going to do it. I'm still used to a Touch ID world, so I don't expect it to unlock. And then I see little animation, I'm like, oh, it unlocked.
One of the things.
All I'm saying is that I would totally respect Apple if they decided, look, all the not the consumer ones, but the ones we're giving out to journalists, we're using special firmware where if it fails twice, just unlock it.
No, well, I've had it like I've done a lot of tests like off like to see what the angles are and to see with glasses, no glasses, and different things. And I've had it fail. There's two things that I think are really going to trip people up, and that is when you have the awareness mode on, which means you have to be like eye of the tiger, looking at it. To unlock it, I think people sometimes won't pay attention and they won't remember that and it'll just fail and it'll take them a little while. I think that's what Stephen Levy had. He just wasn't looking at it.
Yeah, he mentioned
And also
that.
Because you pick up so your
that's
phone.
So that's a switch, though, you can turn on or off.
You can turn it off. It's more secure to have it on because someone can't just randomly hold your phone up. And the other thing is when you just pick it up and move it around, it is still looking at you and it might try to unlock when you're not looking at it. And you could easily go through 3, 4, 5 even attempts to unlock without realizing it. And then you look at it and you're like, oh, it's locked. Why did that happen? Oh, because I was moving it around on my desk and it must have seen my face 5 times
oh,
and then
interesting.
Just yelled at me.
But to get back to the screen size, so it's a little constrained because of it's not so for instance, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. It's a bigger screen than the iPhone 8 in a smaller package.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, so you have the horns, which just contain data. And then at the bottom, I'll get into an app so you can see it. Like in the bottom, you have the gesture area, which.
That has to be there so that you know so there's no home button. So that swipe up, which replaces the home button.
Yeah, but Apple puts like there's little controls that go on both on either side of it. They try to put stuff in almost like an Apple Watch. They put things in the periphery of the display that aren't super critical, but they're there and they use up the space that would otherwise go wasted.
So this is one of the things that's very interesting about the iPhone X is that it's a new user. It's not merely a new design for Apple. It's a new user interface for Apple.
It's a little bit webOS, Leo. It's just a little bit webOS.
See, I loved webOS.
You gesture. I don't know if I can get this into speed, but you gesture up. There we go. You pull up. I'm not going to be able to do it.
It's tricky. So the recents, you have to pull up just right, right?
You pull up. Yeah. And yeah. You
halfway up gives you recents.
And you can pull down to go into reachability mode. Where did I do it? I didn't get it. There we go. It's reachability mode. Okay. And then you can go up to the corner and you can pull down to get control center.
You might not need reachability because you can get it in your hand and it's a smaller phone.
It's a size 1/8.
So the control panel is how do you get to the control panel? You have to touch the corner?
The control panel, because the bottom now is this home gesture.
Right.
So this is what you use to go home. They had to move control center to the top. So one horn is control center, and the other horn is notification center.
I guess you'll get used to that. That's pretty intuitive.
It's funny. Like the first 15 minutes or so I had it, and there were a bunch of people there. We were all still just instinctively pressing the home button and looking for control center at the bottom. But within, I don't know, half an hour, I was trying to swipe on an old iPhone 8 and pull down home
center. Yeah, that's part of the problem, right? And Apple has this problem in spades because the iPads are different from the iPhones or different from the iPhone 10.
It used to take me a minute to unlock an iPad because I'd hold my finger there and wonder why Touch ID wasn't working.
Yeah.
This is very similar.
I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Neil. I said that maybe it was Stephen Levy that Face ID sometimes unlocks right to the home screen, sometimes unlocks to a swipe screen. Is there rhyme or reason to that?
I've never seen it not go to the swipe screen.
So you have to Face ID it and then swipe every time.
Yeah, because some people you'll never be able to please everybody, and there are some people who are super concerned they won't get their notification. All they want to do is look at the lock screen and see their notifications and see their data. It'd be nice if there was a preference toggle, especially an accessibility toggle, and hopefully we'll get that at some point. But for now, you have to swipe up, like do an overt user action to actually open up the phone.
I'm not crazy about that. I've had Android phones like that, and it kind of bugs me, but okay. Samsung tends to do that. I figure if I unlock it, it should go right to the home screen. Why do I have to swipe as well?
Yeah, and I'd like to be able to customize those two buttons on the front too, because, first of all, it bugs me that Siri can't still turn on a flashlight. I mean, is she asking for a raise? What do I have to do to turn on a flashlight?
So there's a flashlight button and a camera button.
Yeah, and the camera you can swipe sideways to get to anyway. So I'd like to
you don't need a camera button.
No, okay. I mean some people might want it, but I'd like to change it. So I don't want it.
People are reporting now. You've used OLED screens from Samsung and others before, yes?
Since the Nexus One, I think, was my first.
So, how does this OLED compare to, let's say, the best screen out there right now, the Note 8?
So, I have not spent enough time. I'm hoping to do that tonight. I have not spent enough time with them side by side to actually compare them. It is a Samsung Pentile Diamond panel. Everything else about it is Apple's display team.
Right.
So the anti-aliasing is Apple's. And the anti-aliasing is so good that nobody I asked after the event actually realized that it was a diamond arrangement.
It's funny because people in the hate the Pentile, the diamond Pentile in the Android world. The S5 had it.
It's phone. You just can't see it. And Apple's also doing their own anti-burn-in technology. It's their own drivers. Most OLED screens are not individually calibrated. They're either batch calibrated or run calibrated. And that means it doesn't really matter what color management you have because you can't tell from one device to the other whether the colors are accurate anyway. And Apple is doing like a sub-pixel level color calibration on every iPhone that's coming off
that's
the assembly.
That's impressive. Line. So they look really it's good. Color accurate to RGB, sRGB?
DCI P3. So
it's P3. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel that looks muted? No, you're used to that because of the LCD on the 8 and the 7.
And there's one thing Apple hasn't been able to fix, and that there's no fringing. There's no red tint that I can find. If you do go about 30 degrees off axis, you will see the blue tint. I think that's still inherent to OLED.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit warmer to me sometimes, but it's hard because I usually leave True Tone on, and True Tone is always doing ambient adjustments based on whether you're in incandescent, fluorescent, or other kinds of lighting conditions. So the panel can look warm, but then you hold it next to a piece of paper, and it's like, no, it is paper white right now. Or it could look cool, and you go, oh, that's what a piece of paper next to me looks like. So the human eyes are actually really lousy at determining color accuracy. So I'm looking forward to the people with those big scientific measurement devices to put it on there.
But it
looks like an iPhone. The bottom line is it does not look washed out. It does not look oversaturated. It just looks like an iPhone screen.
Particularly realistic, though. I think Stephen Levy said it looks like it's painted on.
It's the first end-to-end HDR phone, which is pretty exciting because other companies like Samsung have had HDR displays but no pipelines, and Apple has had an HDR pipeline for several devices now, including the iPads and previous iPhones, but their displays just couldn't output full HDR. And now you're getting the whole package, and it's really impressive when you see HDR photos in HDR and HDR movies in HDR in your hand.
And it's now, of course, because of the notch, you're probably not going to use the, or do you use the full screen?
One of the things I'm still struggling with is how do you hold this darn thing? Because like your fingers are either on the sides or they're covering the screen, and the notch is sort of like an easy place to hold it. So I've usually left it off, but because I don't like messing with the aspect ratio of films. But I have filled it up for AR apps and for movies, and because my thumb is covering a lot of the notch anyway, it hasn't bothered me much. On white, the worst place for it is on white. Like if you're looking at a web page or any app that has a pure white screen, it's hard not to see the notch. But on colored or dark screens, you start to forget it's there really quickly.
Almost everybody agrees that the notch is something you get used to very quickly, yes?
Yeah, it's just like a little thing. Like if you stop and look at it, you're like, oh, God, there's still a notch there.
Well, that's not exactly used to it, but...
yeah. Once in a while, it draws attention. Like once in a while, the screen will go bright white all of a sudden, and you'll see that little cutout there, especially in landscape mode. In portrait mode, I almost never notice it. In landscape mode, because it's one-sided, it sort of sticks out.
You have a really good image in your review at iMore.com comparing the 10, the Samsung, and the LG. I think that's a Samsung S8, or is it a Note 8? I'm not sure.
I think it's the S8.
Yeah. But that'll give people who are familiar with these devices a better idea. Apple's absolutely going to the edge, and that's the reason for the notch.
Yeah, it was, can we go edge to edge? And, well, we can't put the camera underneath the screen yet, right. So this is the best we can do.
The Essential Phone, which I have come to really like, does the same thing. It's a small notch because they don't have the camera arrays that Apple has. And you get used to it. And it's real. I have to say, I like having... I'm calling it a full bleed screen. It goes all the way to the
edges. That's a good way of calling it.
Yeah,
I think Craig Federighi, when he was talking to Matthew Panzerino of TechCrunch, said that Apple experimented. They experimented with bolt-ons, with full bleeds, with everything, and this was just the one that they thought gave them the best blend of edge-to-edge display, you know, without having an ugly sort of lump on the top of the phone.
But, and here you have a comparison on the iMore review. This is what you're going to have to do. If you want to watch a movie without the notch impinging on the left side, you can zoom in, but you're going to have pillar boxes and letter boxes. You're going to have a frame all the way around it. That's the
now,
only way they
OLED
can do
black,
it.
So it does sort of look just like you're using an old school iPhone.
Right.
It looks like you just got the bezels back.
Yeah. Big bezels. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which mode do you tend to use?
I don't use full. Even on a normal iPhone, I very seldom push things up to full screen. I prefer whatever aspect ratio it was filmed in. I don't know if that's just me being stubborn about it, but I usually keep it on the non-magnified version.
Yeah.
Everyone else has told me to make it big. They don't like it. They're like, no, tap, make it big, make it bigger, fill the screen.
Yeah, you want to see it all, even if you're going to miss a little bit on the left edge or the right edge, depending on.
And that's usually camera safe. I mean, there's probably are directors who hide things in those pixels. But those are usually camera safe areas.
Yeah, because you can't assume that the screens are going to go all the way to the edge. All right. So it sounds like they've done a good job with that OLED.
Yeah, I mean, I will have to wait and see. But it's going to be one of the – like nobody really cared or knew who made the LCDs in previous generation iPhones because Apple is really good at sourcing, at quality control, and at doing the display drivers, doing all those things. And it's the same thing they did with OLED. And, you know, Samsung's really good at it too. So who makes the best OLED? I really don't care because they're both really, really good OLED.
Right. And really, HDR is huge. And having a well-calibrated screen with a wide color gamut, although P3 is more for video than photos, but nevertheless, with a wide color gamut and HDR is going to I can't wait to see what that looks like.
And the OS does support Rec 2020, which is the next bigger color space. I think Google's all the way at sRGB Float 12 extended, I think, but it's so complicated. But you know, it's got room to grow as the screens and everything else grows with it.
Well, and I think Google claimed they were calibrating individual screens, but that is apparently not the case, at least with those who have been looking at the Pixel 2 XL.
My understanding is that they are batch calibrating at best. Sample several units from a run that goes through.
So yours may be better or worse, depending on where it stands in the batch.
Yeah. OLED is an incredibly, like anyone who works with OLED will tell you that it is not as mature as LCD, and it is a fantastic technology, but it is incredibly challenging to produce. Mm-hmm.
Well, and Samsung has really owned this for a long, long time. And LG's been making them and using them. There are a few phones that have used them, but this will be probably the single biggest change. Well, I can't say that because Face ID is a big change, and the new UI, and you've got a great guide to the ins and outs of the new UI.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of getting used to. Yeah. We have a separate one up that has all the different animations and stuff up too, because I think it's going to be something that it does feel you and Andy can relate to this, but this is the most fun I've had with an interface since WebOS. Like, I love that WebOS gesture area, and this gives me some of that magic back.
And you feel it's discoverable? Because that's really the question. You know, Microsoft did something similar with Windows 8, and because it wasn't discoverable, it was really a flop.
It is Zelda more than Mario in that they give you hints when you first set it up. They explain to you what the different gestures do. But then they do this other trick too. It's like the minute your finger touches the panel on an iPhone 10, they boost the touch response rate to 120 hertz, which is double what any other iPhone has had. So it is incredibly fluid, and it feels like it's literally stuck to your finger. So it makes it an incredibly good experience. And then you just want to play with it, and you want to keep doing it. It's like, oh, I can make the card do this. Dance, card, dance. And you keep moving it and swiping it and pushing it up. And after a while, it feels like you are literally pushing around these digital cards. And the apps look like cards. They're called cards. You pull them down. It's very much like WebOS. You pull them down. There's a card view. You move the card. You took it over there. You yank the whole card down for each ability. It makes intuitive sense.
Camera roughly the same as the iPhone 8 Plus. In fact, the only thing I can think is different is it's got OIS in the telephoto, right?
Yeah, it's about a third of a stop better because it's got a 2.4 instead of 2.8 aperture, and it's faster. Got OIS. Yeah.
Okay. And an emoji, and I'm going to leave it at that. Well, should people buy this phone? Who should buy this phone? Who shouldn't buy this?
Phone? Just about Animoji quickly is they are delightful. I'm going to be sending them to everybody, including you and Andy.
And annoying everybody but who doesn't have an iPhone 10. Like, you're going to piss us all off. You know
they're
that.
They're going to be like Digital Touch, in which I think there'll be a glut of them in the beginning, and then. Yeah. But I think it's more a tech demo, is to show what you can do with ARKit. More than anything else, because if you don't, Snapchat is already doing similar stuff that's really interesting and cool too. So it's sort of like your gateway into face tracking for AR.
Renee, can you think of anything like in the first 10 minutes of using it that you thought, oh my God, this is such a fail, that at the end of the day you thought, oh, I was wrong about that, I just didn't get used to that, or I didn't know how to use it correctly? Let's say someone gets their new iPhone and like, oh my God, this is such a bad thing. Or maybe something you might see in someone else's review after a day saying, oh, this is a total fail.
Thing I think for people, I mean, Face ID, if you are a single person and you're okay with the use case, it's fine. But if you're used to having multiple fingers enrolled for different, like maybe your partner has them.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Or you're used to using, and you shouldn't do this. I had one person complain that he won't be able to use Face ID while he's driving, you know, and you should be using Siri for that. But some people are used to using it in situations where the camera will not be facing them. So it could be, for them, it will be a downgrade. And they're going to maybe be much happier sticking with an iPhone 8 or with a phone with a fingerprint sensor rather than, you know, let Face ID mature for a generation or two first. Yeah. That's the biggest thing that might hit some people the wrong way.
So, I'm feeling that a lot of people who get their new iPhones are going to think that, oh, Face ID is always failing. It's always asking me for my password, not realizing that, yeah, that's because when you get home, everybody wants to look at your new phone. at work, everybody wants to look at your new phone, and each one of those new faces looking directly at the screen records as a fail. And after five, they're going to turn that feature off.
That's what happened, by the way, in the demo.
Yeah.
Was it Craig Federighi who it didn't recognize?
Yep.
And but that was because five stagehands had looked at the phone, and it required his passcode after the five fails.
And like I said, even if you're just moving your phone around on your desk, because you can tap the screen, it's got a whole new touch layer. It's been already done. You can tap the screen to wake it. If you're just picking up from your desk to put it on a charging pad, it might try to authenticate you without you looking at it, and it will fail. So it's so, like with the fingerprint sensor in water. Like when your finger was moist, Touch ID wouldn't work. There's going to be situations where the Face ID won't work either.
So there are, of course, issues with a 24-hour review. One is how Face ID will age over time. The other is battery life. I'm sure you don't have any sense one way or the other of how the battery life will be.
No, Apple's reported numbers are similar to a plus-size iPhone and the smaller iPhone package. And I can tell that it's much more aggressively – they're much more aggressively managing power, but they're also using the Face ID camera to recognize when you're looking at it and then ease – they're doing this really interesting thing. It's like it's awareness – contextually awareness-based computing, where if you're looking at it, notifications will expand, alarms will go down, ringers will suppress, the screen won't dim as quickly because they know you're paying attention to it. But conversely, when they think you're not paying attention, they'll ramp the screen down faster. They'll ramp up down other processes faster. I think they ramp down GPS faster too. So it's much more conservative with battery life.
In sum, let me read the two paragraphs Renee wrote at 5:59 a.m.
God bless you, Renee.
Yeah, no kidding. Again, I know the weekend you had, and I know the Monday you had, and I know the storm. God bless. You're reminding me of I had a pre-release iPad, and I had to go to New York to like be on one of the network morning shows, and that's when there was like flooding and a hurricane, and all Amtrak service was suspended all the way into New Jersey, and I had to drive at 4 a.m. It's like, no, God hates the person who has pre-release hardware.
Yes.
It's expensive, Renee writes. It's hard to get. It will take some getting used to, and it will have its share of quirks. But it's not just tomorrow's iPhone today, and it's not just the beginning of what comes next. It's the best damn product Apple has ever made.
And it's I think that's true. If you'd asked me like before iPhone 10 came out, I would have not said iPhone 8. I would have said the iPad Pros with ProMotion or the AirPods were the best product Apple's made in the last year or so. But I think iPhone 10 is just further ahead than those even.
And now, of course, there's a lot of iPhone 8 users who are kicking themselves. Right? Because we bought this a month ago.
No, I mean, some people won't want this.
Some people
won't want this. They'll want Touch ID. They'll want what they're used to. And they're willing to let us experiment. They'll look at us and go, yeah, Leo, you use that one. You tell me how it is. And maybe in a few months, I'll get it.
Oh, man.
Some people don't like Rev A boards.
Yeah. As somebody who bought the iPhone 8 Plus.
You bought the Mac Pro.
Yeah. I mean, this is my job, so I can't very well complain. But if somebody did buy the iPhone 8 because they wanted the new iPhone, and then now they're starting to hear all of this about the iPhone 10, this was a risky strategy for Apple. And of course, it seems to be the case that iPhone 8 orders were very much down, and iPhone 10 orders are through the roof. So those of us dumb enough to buy an iPhone 8 when we knew we wanted the iPhone 10, there are few and far between, or at least fewer than usual. But still, it's kind of a...
It's like getting your iPhone SE the same day they shipped iPhone 6. It's for some people, they just want the damn smartphone.
Always happens to me. Yeah. Always.
Yeah. And also, don't if you're happy with your iPhone 8, or even if you're happy with your existing iPhone 7 or 6, don't be sad about this. It's easy. Ask yourself if you're still going to be sorry a week or two from now when we're not all talking about the iPhone 10. It's for a lot of people that extra $150 to $300 is a really big deal. And so don't feel bad that you don't have the brand new shiny. It means that you'll get the iPhone 10 plus 2 that you'll get 2 years from now when it's time to replace your iPhone 8 will be that much better. Maybe there'll be no notch. Maybe there'll be the holographic Jarvis module in place of the speaker grill.
Yeah, I think that's really that's the only consolation is this is the first iPhone of this new generation, and it will, you know, obviously be better next time. Yep. And so you'll get the better one. It just, you have to wait a little.
I remember when the original iPhone came out, it was very expensive to get in Canada because you had to get it unlocked, and I wasn't sure I'd like it. I had a Trio Pro, and I loved that phone. Right. So I bought the iPod Touch, and then I had the iPod Touch for a couple months, and I kept watching. I kept listening to MacBreak Weekly, kept looking at all the reviews. Finally, I'm like, no, okay, I'm sold. I'm getting the iPhone. And then I paid for it. So for me, it was like a toe in the water.
Yeah.
And if you bought it less than 14 days ago, you can take it back and get a refund just in case. Yeah. If you don't mind not having a phone for 4 to 7 weeks.
Yeah, what is it up to now? Let me just quickly.
I think it's still 5 to 6 weeks.
By the way, it is not into next year yet. And so all those rumors that people would be waiting until 2018.
They're ramping up, I think they're ramping up future production faster than they expect. Well, not faster than the financial analyst dreaded.
Right. Faster than the rumor mill.
Yeah.
And this isn't like the Nintendo Classic. It's not as though they intend to keep this in short supply. They intend to make they'll be continuing to manufacture and continuing to make them, and they're hoping towards a day when you can walk into any store and buy the one you want.
Well, and if you're a Sprint customer, apparently you could order it even like on 2 or 3 days later. A lot of Sprint people were able to get theirs, I'm sure Verizon's very difficult. T-Mobile, same thing. Let me just check here. Five to six weeks still, yeah.
Was this the first time you couldn't just simply buy a completely unlocked iPhone?
They did that for quite a while, and then they stopped. Yeah. But for a while, in fact, I think it was the iPhone 6S, they didn't sell it unlocked until a few months later, and then they sold it unlocked, right? Is
in
that right,
US,
Renee?
Most of the world, they will sell it unlocked. In the U.S., it is always a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Some years they have, some years they haven't. But you can typically, in the last couple of years, I think the T-Mobile one and the Verizon, the GSM SIM slot have been factory unlocked. So you could get one of those and do what you wanted with it anyway.
The conventional wisdom last year was get a Verizon because the FCC is requiring them to unlock the LTE chip.
Yeah.
And Verizon has both CDMA and GSM radios. Is that right?
They have the Qualcomm modem that, yeah.
Yeah. So if you get it from, if you get the Verizon, probably, in other words, if I wait in line, which I'm going to, on Thursday to get the phone on Friday, I will get the Verizon phone. Except I'm not a Verizon customer. Do they verify whether you're a customer?
It depends, because some people are reselling. I know there was Best Buy, I think, is selling them unlocked for $100 more than retail price because they make more money off contract phones than they do off flat fee phones. But it's a bit of a mess.
So as I could go in and I know I can if they have any, I could get it as a T-Mobile customer. But I'm not currently a Verizon customer. Would I be able to go into the Apple Store and buy a Verizon phone? Because that would be the one to get. You could always put a T-Mobile SIM in it.
I think resellers might push back on you because they want.
But Apple Store will let you have it.
I believe so.
I can't remember. I know when you buy it online, they go through the carrier, right?
Yeah.
But when you buy it in the store, especially if there's a long line and they're in a hurry. Well, I'll let you know next week.
Please do.
How early would you suggest, guys, from your vast experience, I should get in line?
If I were trying to get buy one on Friday, my target would be a Verizon store or an AT&T store.
Oh, not the Apple store.
Not something because it's weird. I remember that every single time that this comes up, people can still get them like the day of at like 10 or 11 or noon because no one is thinking. All the people who are excited about getting it the first day are heading to the mall, to the Apple store. They're not going to the AT&T store next to the Dunkin' Donuts off the interstate.
Actually did that on the first iPhone. I bought it from AT&T because I knew I could get it there. And I knew that the lines were horrific at the Apple
store. You just sometimes have to be more flexible on which model. Like sometimes they don't have as many of each color as an Apple store.
John's the last guy I went in the line with. And I know Josh Windisch is going to go to Berkeley and get in line. I'm going to have to communicate with him because he says if he can get one, he's going to get one for me. You can get two? Yeah. I may have more. Anybody want an iPhone 10? I may have many.
I want all of them.
I feel an obligation. You know, my deadline is the radio show this weekend. I feel... somewhat of an obligation, and I will have at least looked at one on Friday, but I feel somewhat of an obligation to have something to say on Saturday and Sunday on the radio show. And Apple, by the way, just in case you're interested, that's a show that speaks to, in 200 markets, to a million people who potentially are interested in iPhone 10. And I'm going to have to apologize to them and say, hey, I'm sorry, but I can't tell you anything about the iPhone 10 till November 17th. And I feel like that's doing them a disservice. It's not doing me a disservice. I'm not in that big a hurry, but it's doing them a disservice. I will probably get in line just for that reason because I owe it to them. And I'm thinking midnight Friday, 12:01 Friday morning. Right, John? It opens at 8 a.m.
I used to do around 11, but I would watch Twitter for people who I knew were at the store I was going to go to and see what they were saying about the line and then either hurry up or slow down.
I'll watch. But our line in Santa Rosa, nobody tweets. It's going to rain, right? And there's no shelter. I remember that. So I'm going to, I'll tweet some grim pictures of me and my, and by the way, I'm going to wear this outfit. I'm going to say, I have arrived to purchase an iPhone 10, young man.
I am the mayor of the line.
Have you any iPhone 10?
I want to be the treasurer.
Yes.
You are deputy of donuts. Go get me a Cruella.
We have, by the way, deciphered Andy's outfit. Somebody actually put a YouTube video up. Was it Patrick Delahanty? Oh, we deciphered it in-house. Very good. Patrick Delahanty recognized it. Let me play the video. It is you are the artist from Sesame Street. That's right.
The Mad Painter.
The Mad Painter. And I can't find the video, but
Paul Benedict.
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
Got to paint a three.
Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the Mad Painter. You look exactly like him, Andy.
I also have the pants and I have the sneakers.
Oh, really? So this wasn't something you threw on when you saw I was wearing a strange outfit.
No, I got to, well, I had it ready for Rhode Island Comic Con and also maybe greeting people at the door tonight. It might be too deep catalog for the kids.
I think the kids are going to go, as I did, oh, you're Marcel Marceau. Because it is a little bit of a tribute to mimes, right? I mean,
it's silent. Yeah, there's a, or it's a tribute to like low budget early Sesame Street where they couldn't afford to roll sound during remote shoots. But yeah, you know, if I had a girlfriend who looked like Stalker Channing, we'd be like yeah. She'd be having a vinyl purse.
And who is that actor? I recognize him, but I can't.
It's Paul Benedict, the legendary Paul Benedict.
Paul Benedict. Character actors, we all know their faces, but often can't place them.
Was that before she married Martin Sheen? I'm so confused.
Yes. Yes, it is. No, who doesn't love Stalker Channing?
He's just a governor.
Pinky Tuscadero.
Yeah, Sesame Street was kind of like the CSI or the Law and Order of TV back then, where it's like if you were a working actor at some point, you would be sent out on audition for Sesame Street, and then you'd earn enough money to stay in New York and continue trying to get work.
Is by the way the only number he can paint the number three?
No, he does. There are video films for I think up to 11.
Oh, good.
I know. I chose the three. I chose the three because my first intent was to wear this at New York Comic Con, but I couldn't go. I selected the three because I could get this into a pocket and not have to walk around like this all the time.
That is a great Halloween costume because it's people look at it and go, I know it's a costume.
My
I have no idea what it is.
For years, like I love taking pictures of cosplayers. For years, I thought I'd love to. It's sort of like my attitude towards tattoos. I would love to do it, but only about like something that I really was like excited about. I also knew that I didn't want to be another Spider-Man or another Stormtrooper. I wanted a costume where one out of 10,000 people would get it, but that one person would like not stop talking about it for the entire weekend.
This is what some people guessed. You were, and actually it could be adapted, I think.
Again, I could make that day two.
You've got the bowler.
I don't know if that's worth wearing a tie for, though.
It's Magritte and the green apple. Mm. Yeah.
I did cosplay technically as Bill Cunningham last year at New York Comic Con. The New York Times fashion photographer.
Oh, Bill, that's right. I remember that from last year. Yeah, with your little camera. Yeah, that was cute.
I had the blue, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like all I did was, oh, if I pack my beige my beige pants.
By the way, I just want to point out that Apple's jail does not last forever. Gizmodo also got an early look at the iPhone, although I think they were the 24-hour wonders as opposed to the 7-day reviewers. I'm not sure.
Only Nixon could go to China.
That's right. Only, yes. You trust them because, I don't know. All right. Anything else you want to say before we move on? People seem to love the display. The general agreement is that Face ID works well. Doesn't, as Apple said, work well with identical twins, although there's some disagreement. Some identical twins were not able to unlock their sibling's phone, but some were. We actually, Megan Maroney has identical twin sons. So I asked her when she gets hers on Friday to try it on Huck and Milo. Unfortunately, they have different hairdos. I don't know if that will be considered or not.
Well, I do want to tease my upcoming iPhone 10 review that there's some things in the works. I'm going to have the most wonderful test of Face ID possible. It's going to involve some travel to make it happen, and also I have to get permissions that go up and down a certain ladder.
Good.
But if it works out, oh boy, am I going to be proud of this.
When can we look for that?
If it happens, then I will probably post something about the Face ID thing like the day after I do it, which would be sometime, hopefully, and by the end of next week. The review will have to wait until I've had it for 2 weeks. So
you and you ordered, and when is yours coming? The 7th? I mean, the 10th? This you Friday. You got November 3rd.
Yeah, maybe because I kind of gamed the system. I thought that no one was going to want the 64 gigabyte one.
Ah.
I also thought, what's the least popular telco? So give me the AT&T 64 gigabyte silver one. And I don't know if that was a positive or a negative, but I got in. I also was like there at 3:01 a.m. So that was probably part
and
of it
you,
too.
And you use the iOS app?
I had the iOS app on the iPad. I also had the web app open on my notebook, and cursing like hell because there is no refresh button on the iOS app.
I know, you have to force quit.
We've got great things in store for you. Like, great. So why don't you just tell me if you're open yet?
Yeah. So I had four screens. I had the Apple Store on the web, T-Mobile on the web, and two iOS, my iPhone and my iPad. Force quit iOS Store, you know, every minute. I never got into the iOS Store after half an hour. It was still, we've got wonderful things in store someday. I finally did get through on the web store and purchased a silver 256, which I'm getting 2 weeks later on the 17th, the 24th.
I don't know how that works because I was logged into the same account on one on an iPhone 8, one on the iPhone 8 Plus. iPhone 8 Plus one came up like 15 minutes before the iPhone 8.
Isn't that weird? I don't know how they're doing it either. But Lisa, who decided she didn't want to get up, just lay in bed and ordered it on the iOS app and went back to sleep. And when I finally got mine, I went running in. I said, "Did you get yours? Did you?" She says, "Why are you waking me up? I got it a long time ago."
Yeah, I don't know what that says about me. I did not get out of bed at 11 a.m. for the solar eclipse, but I did stay up until 3 a.m. to get it.
Does say something about you? Yes, it's only midnight for us.
Nothing I'm ashamed of, by the way.
Yeah, Apple Store was slow to open as always, and actually, once you got in, it worked fairly briskly.
Some people had problems with the validation at the carrier, but that was the carrier's problem, and Apple was actually helping them out a little bit on that.
Yeah, carriers as always had miserable problems.
But Apple had a failsafe and was saying that, okay, I sense that T-Mobile is screwing you over. We will hold your place. We will reserve this for you. You have 24 hours to get this working.
Right. Yeah, you get a reservation number, although I heard some people say that theirs did not work subsequently. Mm. You know, it's on Twitter you see a lot of different stories.
I'd love to – I hope I live long enough that I can read somebody's oral history of the people at Apple that work the back room for 3:01 a.m. on sale day. That must be like – it makes the team of people that were they're huddling at every bank at the turn of the millennium – just multiply that by 100. That must be the situation. The mere fact that Apple still has to shut down the entire store until and reopen the doors when they're ready for pre-orders, there's got to be an interesting story behind that, why that has to happen.
And Renee has Pokemon Go on the iPhone 10.
They haven't updated it. It's letterboxed.
Yeah, I see that on your article on the key things. Yeah. There's big bars at the top and the bottom. Oh, that's actually something we didn't mention, but apps that are used, that are written using Apple's preferred method of screen adaptability do not adapt well to the iPhone 10 screen. That's like Pokemon Go. They have bars at the top and the bottom. Neil I. Patel reported there were a great many of those. So be prepared. There will be apps that don't take advantage of the full screen. It's not, to me, it doesn't seem horrible. Is it horrible?
No, it's like when the iPhone 5 came out and the iPhone 4S apps that hadn't adjusted yet had the bars on top and bottom. I don't know the intricacies of the details. I mean, almost everyone uses adaptive UI and size classes. And it is the iPhone 10, even though it has a screen the size of an iPhone Plus, is still compact. It's not compact regular. So it's a small interface like an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 7 would be.
That bugs me because I have trouble with the small keyboard. I have fat fingers.
The keyboard is stretched out. Like, it's not, the keyboard is not smaller. It just, when you rotate it, you don't get that extended keyboard with all different characters.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little narrower. Like, it's a narrow display, so it's taller than it is. I mean, the aspect ratio changed.
But I haven't had any trouble. I've been using iPhone Pluses since they came out, and I've had no trouble typing on it.
Good. Yeah, I have sausage fingers, and I need big. I never liked the iPhone keyboard, to be honest. Yeah. And it comes with 11.0.3?
It will ship with 11.0.3, but iOS 11.1 just came out, so you'll be able to upgrade it as soon as you get it.
And that lets me segue to our next story. We're going to take a break.
Are we going to cover emoji, Leo?
Oh, you okay. We'll do 11.1 in a bit. What about emoji?
I was
skipping the Animoji. Are you going to send me one so I can show it?
Oh, do you want me to send you an? I'll send you an Animoji. But I was just talking about 11.1 and an emoji. I was getting excited.
Yeah, when we talk 11.1, you can. Yes, Renee, you can talk about the new emoji.
Leo, nobody cares about anything else in operating system. It's just an emoji.
It's so sad. What a world. What a world.
And hamburger and lettuce, but later.
Yeah. Later. So send me, I guess, I gather we'll have to be on Apple's messages, right?
Yes, I'll send it to you.
Let's see. I'm all excited about this. I'm going to do it on my iPad, so we'll be able to.
After the nuclear apocalypse, when there's no technology for emojis, it's only us old timers who remember how to type a colon and a parenthesis.
Thank God, I still have those skills, Andrew.
Convey our emotions via text message.
All right, let's watch Renee make a fool of himself, recording.
Oh, you want to watch me do it? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Hold on. So of course we do.
I'm going in here. I am choosing Leo Laporte from my contacts.
Yeah, okay.
I am going. Which emoji? Do you have any, a request?
Whatever you like the best. No, I'm not picking.
So if I do a poop emoji, that's okay.
Poop's fine.
Okay, turn off the camera first, though. Come on. I know you're in a hotel room, but
what do you mean?
Well, you know, it uses a 3D camera to sense what you're doing to how to. Oh, I'm sorry. I may have misinterpreted how that feature works.
Hello, Leo. I am your friend, Mr. Poop. This is an emoji.
Okay, so we saw his face. Now we're going to get the emoji, and we will see. Yeah, yeah. Send it. I want it.
Dang it.
Andy, I know. It's the end of times.
Like Craig Federighi said, they spent all this billions of dollars so that you could send people animated poop. It is money well spent.
Well, what the irony of the whole thing is that those are the sensors that you frankly really want to put on the other side so you could do really good augmented reality. All the augmented reality is facing you. So now it comes through on iOS as a video.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's compatible with everything. You could copy it and send it to anybody.
So let me. I like the animation. I think my sound must be going somewhere I don't know about.
Leo, from that camera angle, it looks like you're cosplaying as Prince. I like that.
Game blouses.
It's very expressive. I just can't hear it. I don't know where the audio is going. But very expressive. And I even got your eyebrows.
Yeah, it does 50 points of face tracking. So, like, your eyebrows, your eyes, your lips, your mouth, like, your head.
And your head. It's pretty like, cool. Your forehead's jiggling.
Yeah.
I'm just going to think of you as a nice chocolate soft serve, if you don't mind. Tasty chocolate soft serve.
I am tasty chocolate soft serve.
Brothers and sisters.
Oh, wait a minute. I see. I see why I don't hear it. There's an audio.
Oh, yeah.
You're making it bigger.
Okay, let's put my microphone on.
Hello, Leo. I am your friend, Mr. Poop. This is an emoji.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Hello, Leo. I am your friend, Mr. Okay.
We can have the show for you one day, Leo.
Okay, I want it now. All right. There are a lot of, I'm glad you, and I'm going to refer people to this article as well. There are a lot of new gestures, but Renee and I more have put together a whole article with animated illustrations so you can know what there are what to do what, and I think that that's going to actually be very, very handy. I'm sure Apple has some high production value video to do this, but I think it's really, I like to read, I don't like to sit through a video, so this is good. The one that surprises me a little bit is switching apps. You slide along the bottom.
Yep. That's super fast.
Yeah, it actually looks better than the force touch technique, which has been disabled anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about 11.1 in a moment as we continue on Mac Break Weekly. And just to live up to the name, we better find some Mac news. I don't know what we'll say, but we'll find some. Actually, I do know what we'll say. There's a new version of Mac OS. Our show today brought to you by FreshBooks. Love FreshBooks. I call them the lifesavers because when I was working as a freelancer, flying up to Canada 1 week a month, I had to invoice them at the end of the month for the trip, for the expenses, for my time, the whole thing in Canadian dollars. It was such a pain. I would put it off and put it off. Amber is the one who told me about FreshBooks. At the time, it was, this was 10 years ago, the hot, Web 2.0 property. Now, 10 million people use FreshBooks, and they do much more than invoicing. And it begins with invoicing, but it really is a full cloud accounting system, which is kind of neat because it's the invoicing, and you can put expenses in your invoices or just keep track of them by taking a picture with the FreshBooks app. So you have all your expenses, you have all your outbound invoices, you have your inbound payments. When you put that all together, you actually know you've got your accounting. You know what your outstanding balances are, your total profit, something a freelancer often doesn't know till tax time. It's all those reports are there in the FreshBooks dashboards. And by the way, it's little things. They're always improving the app because it's a web app. So little things like, how sometimes when you're scrolling up columns, you lose the context because the header scrolls up. Not on FreshBooks. The sticky headers, I love this. You scroll through the page while the headers shrink and remain at the top so you know what you're looking at. Get, of course, your professional looking invoices that you're sending out get you paid faster because there's always a pay me bill. You can have your clients pay you through all the best known web payment systems. That means you're going to get paid on average 11 days faster. Yes, it works with Apple Pay. See what invoices have been sent, which invoices have been paid, but also which invoices have been viewed. So no more sneaking around saying, I didn't get your invoice. No, we know. You can reward prompt clients and encourage customer loyalty by adding discounts to recurring templates. You can automatically send invoices. You can set up with your client to automatically pay even. Bill for time and client and buy specific projects, assign services to projects, then designate different rates for each service. You can press play on the website or on the app to track your time to the minute, and all the time entries are sorted chronologically on the invoice. So it looks like you got somebody full-time doing your invoices, but it's just you. It's easy. The full description of every line item is now visible when viewing an invoice on mobile, so that's nice, too. There's no mystery about what's going on. Employees can use the app to let them invoice as well, if you give them permission. They have great help, too. The new help widget makes it really easy to access information. Just click on the blue question mark at the bottom right of the desktop. FreshBooks was named one of Forbes' small giants for 2017. I'm not surprised. I love them, and now you can try it for free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/MacBreak. Simplify your life. Focus on what you like doing and get paid faster with FreshBooks. Plus, you'll even know if you've made any money this year. freshbooks.com/MacBreak. We thank them for their support of MacBreak Weekly. So should I iOS? This is not the beta. This is not the developer. This is the final real push out and use iOS 11.1. Yes. Am I alone?
Yeah, I'm not.
Renee.
I was muted. I apologize.
Oh.
No, 11.1 is live just in time for 11.2 to go into beta, Leo. That's how we live.
That's fine. That's fine. You guys can go ahead with your little beta and be happy. Even Apple says in its thumbnail description of iOS 11.1, iOS 11.1 introduces over 70 new emoji and includes bug fixes and improvements. So clearly that's the chief feature, right?
I've heard in the industry that almost nothing drives upgrades like new emoji. People will say, I don't really need something. I need, oh my God, a unicorn. And then it's just like,
Well, and Kevin, who does the technical direction on iOS today, is so in love with the new emojis. He throws them in all the time. So we see a lot of those. What are your favorites?
Cool. If you just have the boxes on your screen, Leo, you got to have the new emoji. I mean, I like, I'm at this crossroads with emoji that I feel like it's become a pictographic language that can help overcome the lack of emotion that was plaguing our text-based society, our text-based messaging society. But it feels like I'm not sure what their priorities are anymore, because there's a lot of other emotions and other variations I like to see. But now we have like fairies and zombies and, you know, like other stuff that I thought maybe weren't as high a priority. I mean, they're a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't dying for a hedgehog. Mind blown is cool, shh is nice. I do like that they have a lot more diversity. They have a curling stone, you know, for the Canadians.
Yay!
So,
I like this is me, by the way. They now, or is it Tim Cook? I can never tell. Yeah, it could be me. Fairies, by the way, pansexual fairies, no gender.
Yeah, I think they have both. Actually, I think they do have.
Yeah, but what? Yeah, but okay. But what gender would this be?
I don't know.
Right. That's the point. We know what gender the mermaid is because she has strategically placed seashells. There's a female vampire.
Very emo vampire.
Emo is right. I like the
you
wizard.
You shall not pass.
He's even got a crystal in his wand. So a little chow mein with chopsticks.
Hopefully in China would recognize that, so I'm confused.
What? Yeah, that's right. This is American Chinese food. Yes. This is takeout. What I mean, really, when you get takeout in China, does it look like that?
No.
That's pretty funny. Probably in the rest of the world. It's probably only in China.
There's probably some places in Hong Kong where they use it as well.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. Broccoli is the same everywhere.
Yeah.
And that broccoli reaches out and says, eat me. Just reaches out to you. It's very... not a broccoli fan.
It's an ipecac.
Ipecac. It's not a vegetable. That's ipecac. They of course are pushing out a crack fist. And by the way, Mac OS will also get these new emojis because the new version of Mac OS comes out too. Is that the crack patch for both Mac OS and iOS is, and the new emojis, those are the main things.
Yes. But you have to wait till iOS 11.2 for your calculator fix.
But they are, it's interesting. 11.2 B1 fixes the slow calculator app. So they paid attention.
Yeah,
right. It's going to be with the. I'm looking forward to 11.1. It's going to be interesting to see if they've made any really subtle tweaks to all these new gestures and all these new interface elements that they've sprung on people with iOS 11. And it's not even as simple as they decided to move this element here or they decided to delete this button. It could be something as simple as they decided to increase the spacing between buttons so minutely that you'd have to do a side by side to see it, because now they've got so much feedback from real people about how this thing is being used. That's there are a lot of people at Inside Cupertino thinking, okay, you win 10, I'm paying up $10. I really thought people would not mistake that button for that other button, but you're right, I'm wrong. The numbers don't lie.
I'm also pleased that they brought back that weird 3D touch gesture that you push and you switch the app.
Yeah.
Over. And I use that all the time. And it really perturbed me that they took it out of iOS 11. Why did they remove it and why did they bring it back? Do we know?
It's weird. I mean, sometimes they try for consistency and it's not going to be an iPhone 10. So you should have, you know, it won't be an iPhone 8. But then they move Control Center in iPhone 10, but they don't move it in Control in iOS 8. So you never know. I think it's just a judgment call. And I think ultimately they decided to put it back.
Yeah. You see that a lot when there's big revolutions. It'll take something away, and if there's a big enough stink, the people who just barely lost that argument in engineering bring that up again and say, yeah, we're going to have to put this back.
Incidentally, the crack patch will also go out to tvOS and watchOS. So the updates are 11.1 for iOS, 10.13.1 for macOS, tvOS 11.1, watchOS 4.1. You'll also see some other changes in watchOS, according to Sam Axon writing on Ars Technica. The ability to toggle automatic Wi-Fi connections off and on.
Yes.
So it won't be just auto-joining. Is that the idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also you can just get off. Like, if you don't want to be on that Wi-Fi network, and I need to get off of it.
We have a real problem here in Petaluma because of Xfinity. Xfinity Wi-Fi is everywhere. Because everybody who has Xfinity and a Wi-Fi router has automatically got a guest network that you can join as an Xfinity customer. And so you just can't get away from it. So
I've been walking in New York. Like, I just, it says, do you want to use AT&T Wi-Fi? And I press no, and it goes, proceed without a network connection. I don't know what that means.
Right.
Does that mean I won't get any connection? Does that mean I'm back on LTE? Stop doing this.
Stop it. Yeah.
That's hands down the most annoying persistent feature, because not only that, but also the operating system says, oh, great, here's a Wi-Fi. I'll switch over from the expensive LTE into this wonderful free Wi-Fi. Only you're stuck at a login screen that you've never really seen before. And now you're wondering why you haven't been getting any email alerts or anything like that until you have to switch off Wi-Fi just to get back basic functionality.
Incidentally, our chat moderator, Scooter X, has announced that he will from here on in be named Scooter 10. Just want you to make sure you say it right.
I feel like that's on Apple. I mean, I did that wrong in my review video, too.
You called it the iPhone X?
I called it 10. I redid sections where I had called it, and one of them still got through. And I feel like after we lived through OS 10 and people calling it OS X, Apple knew better. It feels like this one's on Apple.
I said this before when the rumor came out they were going to name it iPhone 10. I said, there's no way, because inevitably people are going to call it iPhone X or the X.
Yeah, I'm still spelling Mac OS with an initial uppercase M, partly as a protest vote, and secondly, that's because this is why British people say aluminium instead of aluminum, because they say, because that's what it's called.
Yes, that's what its name. So good. So we'll be able to turn off the preference to automatically join Wi-Fi. They fixed before the issue with joining captive Wi-Fi by accident.
Yeah.
Okay. But not being notified about it is a nice feature. I think that's great.
I'm still waiting for 3D Touch coming to that panel where I can just deep press on the Wi-Fi icon and then select. Well, there are three different Bluetooth audio sources in this room. I don't want you to automatically reconnect to the AirPods that I was using during my walk. I now want you to connect to the nice $400 speakers I have in the office without having to tap and then go back into settings and do stuff like that. I really think that's a natural fit for 3D Touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not actually sure So one of the iPhone engineers, a guy working on the radios, maybe an innocent mistake. I'm not sure. Maybe he wanted to get fired. His adult daughter. So this was after Apple said to employees who had iPhone 10s, okay, the pre-order's on, so you can come out. You know, you can come out of the closet. But he allowed his daughter to make a video in the Apple cafeteria. He's actually in the video, and put it up ahead of all the embargoes. For all the other journalists on YouTube, and the same woman has now said, my dad was fired because of this. Not really a surprise.
It's a horrible, horrible situation that I think I know pretty much what happened at this point. And it is an absolutely horrible situation, and I don't want to cause any more misery for anybody, but if there is an accident, if the guy who left the iPhone in the bar famously was not fired. There have been people who have lost all sorts of products or accidentally, someone has tried to.
It wasn't malicious. It was an accident.
Apple will go out of their way to help you with that. Like, they are very good about that. This was not that. This was so many rules. If you watch that video carefully, so many rules broken that anyone who works it out. I mean, when it does go into open carry, you get a whole piece of paper that tells you what you are and are not allowed doing with it. And if you work at Apple, I don't want to say it, but you can figure out how that video actually got taken. And by no means is that something that anyone at Apple would believe is okay to do. This was not that. I'm very sad for him, but I think there is no way he didn't have to know this was coming.
Yeah. Among other rules, you're not allowed to film in the cafeteria.
It says that on the Mac, iMac, when you sign in, which is the one frame of video missing. that went live there.
So Brooke Amelia Peterson says her father Ken Bauer was fired after she posted that video. Apple has not confirmed that, but I mean, why would she? I doubt she would lie.
And some people think she's a child. She's not. She's
an adult,
grown up. She's married. She lives in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah, I would feel bad if I were her. But this is what that rush to get these stories out can do for you.
It's exciting to have information that no one else has. It's exciting, even if you're not monetizing your videos, to have a video that's got a couple million views on it. And sometimes it clouds the minds of otherwise sane people. Yeah. It's too bad. I'm with Renee. It's a sad story. No one is like, well, thank God that horrible man got brought to justice. It's like, no, but yeah, I can't say whether that was correct or not, but I can't say that this was anybody could have flipped to the end of this book and saw how the story ends on this one.
Yeah. She has pulled down, of course, the video, the offending video, and put up another video explaining what happened. That video has 4.8 million views. I imagine the other video was equally popular. So, oh well.
Hope he's monetizing that one because
came at a high price.
Hope the monetization was turned on, kids.
She might not be getting like the full batch, so the full box of like handmade fudge from the seaside store for Christmas this year. She might just be getting a card this year.
Just a card. God, I don't want to be. I would hate to be a fly on the wall during that family conversation. Jeez, Louise. Stock
Uncle
market,
Josh,
of course.
Why are we having the canned ham instead of that big spiral cut honey ham we usually have this year?
Oh man,
Gloria, you want to explain why we're having the canned ham this year?
Here's some bad news about the forthcoming Apple HomePod. It won't work with Siri and Spotify. So Siri, you can Siri, you know, command the HomePod and have it do Apple Music, of course, as one would expect. But don't expect to ask for anything on Spotify. Apple says developers can only make third-party apps that do messaging, lists, and notes.
There's a weird lack of media functionality in general lately. There is no Siri kit for music, for podcasts, nothing like that. But you go back 2-3 years, there's still not continuity for media. And it seems like one of the most basic common sense features Apple would have rolled out after announcing continuity is, I am listening to this on this device. I am getting up and walking away. It will seamlessly transfer and play on that device. And they just, it's been years and they haven't shipped it. And it's confusing to me. And SiriKit for podcasts and music and audiobooks feels like a no-brainer too, but it has not shipped yet.
11.2 introduces SiriKit for HomePod. This is Apple. The powerful speaker that sounds amazing adapts to whatever it's playing and provides instant access to Apple Music. I guess it's not surprising that Apple would favor its own music, but on the other hand, it's going to limit sales of this.
Well, they're going to dog food it first. I mean, Apple's famous for spending a couple of months figuring out an API on their own before rolling it out to everybody.
Right.
But it seems like SiriKit could have rolled this out before the HomePod, and then they would have had time to dog food it beforehand.
Also, this is exactly the sort of product where, like the Apple Watch, they get the hardware right for the first release, and they can keep adding features via software as they go. And it seems if this is all true, then it really does seem like Apple's content or resigned to promoting the HomePod as, look what an awesome speaker this is. Oh, what a great speaker. You won't believe the quality of the music from this speaker that we're selling you. Whereas Sonos is selling you, here is a smart speaker that we have, and here is Google's have their new speakers, and look at our new assistant-powered speaker. But Apple seems to be content that they can sell enough of them this year just by saying, we've got the technology that will make this 3D computational sound, if that's the term that's being thrown around right now. And if for $350, it's not that expensive, and if it really does deliver that kind of sound experience, that will be okay, and people will just be thrilled in January or February when it actually does a lot more than it does out of the box.
Little tidbit in Matthew Panzerino's TechCrunch review of the iPhone X. He says when he went to Cupertino last week to pick up the iPhone X, he got to interview Phil Schiller, Senior Vice President of Hardware Engineering Dan Riccio, Craig Federighi, and VP of User Interface Design Alan Dai. And Dan Riccio said something interesting. I heard some rumor that we couldn't get Touch ID to work through the glass, so we had to remove that. When we hit early line of sight on getting Face ID to be as good as it was, we knew if we could be successful, we could enable the product that we wanted to go off and do. And if that's true, it could be something that we could burn bridges and be all in with. That's assuming it was a better solution. And that's what we did. So we spent no time looking at fingerprints on the back or through the glass or on the side, because if we did those things, which would be a last minute change, they would be a distraction relative to enabling the more important thing we were trying to achieve, which was Face ID done in a high quality way. In other words, as soon as we knew Face ID could do what we wanted it to do, we stopped even thinking about fingerprint.
When Cortez reached the New World, he had his men set fire to his ships.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Very well motivated.
Well, I guess they set fire to Touch ID. Quite a while. That's good. I like it, Andrew.
Leave nothing for the swim back home.
Oh, it works. Yeah. It works. I can slide over again. Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, the famous story is that, like, when iFixit took apart that iPod Touch and they found the unused camera module, camera slot at the bottom.
The
if somebody takes it off and they found a giant sensor, well, no, you know. But otherwise, it's very – you can do a lot of things with bits up until you ship them. Right. You cannot do a lot to change atoms. That's you got to set that up pretty early.
So remind me on Saturday, let's get iFixit on the new screensavers. They'll have done their teardown by then, and we'll find out.
Is there a secret sensor?
I like Matthew's take on this. He was one of the handful who got it a week ahead of time, so he decided to bring it to Disneyland for his review.
His daughter disclosed. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's fired. She's fired.
She's so cute.
She is adorable. And this is a good idea. He said, you know, let's do a real-world test of the iPhone 10, you know.
What if he drops it on a ride and he has to tell security, I can't allow you to go into the water and get it. I have to get it because you're not under NDA.
That's brave, isn't it? I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That's brave.
I have to admit, Renee, that I was looking at what pictures from the wedding to see if there was exif information about, oh, Renee couldn't resist taking video of the wedding with a new phone.
Stupid Instagram that ruins it for everybody.
Let's see.
There is an alternate reality where Serenity and her husband actually exchanged vows in Animoji, but unfortunately, that was not this reality.
Did they plan this wedding a long time ago? Because that really was poor timing. Okay.
I mean, it was
a hoot and a half from the feeds that I've been watching over the weekend, Facebook and Instagram.
Very cute.
It looked like they didn't have a first dance, they had a first skate.
Yeah.
You'll be glad to know that Apple cares about migratory birds.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know this was happening, but apparently the Chicago Apple store birds were flying into the windows seeing the lights from this store on Michigan Avenue and dying. So they've decided to dim the lights every night until the fall migration season ends. Actually, this is something all of Chicago is doing. They're calling it the Lights Out Initiative for high-rise buildings.
Do we know those birds don't just want iPhone 10s? Maybe they think they're going to get to the full one.
There is apparently a Chicago bird collision monitors, an all-volunteer conservation project dedicated to the protection of migratory birds, and they work with buildings to prevent bird collisions. Who knew? Who knew? It's a big problem. I don't know if this is one of those birds colliding into Tim Cook or what. I'm not sure why that picture is there, Apple Insider. Maybe you can explain it to us. Apple has kind of released some information about the new iMac Pro. They showed it at the Final Cut Pro Creators Summit over the weekend, giving people who use Final Cut Pro a closer look. It's pretty. It's black. Looks like a black, like dark gray, right? Slate gray.
You can get it with a piece of crap keyboard and a piece of crap mouse as well.
Yeah, look at that. There you go. That's pretty. So you'll know. It has 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports, space gray, new thermal design, all flash. No more of those Fusion drives.
No.
Off. Yeah. No. And yes, you get a Magic Mouse too, and a Magic Trackboard too, and a wireless Magic Keyboard
have a box full of those terrible.
You get all of that stuff, and you can just put that aside. Give it to your.
They're not even good paperweights.
Give it to your daughter.
It's not using like as a packing shim to make sure to save money on styrofoam.
Is the mouse like Apple's like that one thread on the Afghan? It's the one because they've just never made a good mouse. Is it like the one thing they're destined to never do to make everything else okay?
It's you know, watching the evolution of Apple mouses, it's like watching one of those like skateboarding fail videos where first you're like, ooh, and then in the middle, it's like entertaining, and then it becomes sad again. No, stop doing it. No, it's just stop. Just,
but you know, figure like random chance they get one of them right.
Don't lead with your groin the next time. Just go over the flat part, and then they come out with another new mouse that it's like, it's almost as if you have no hands. It's almost as if you move the mouse with your mind inside the spaceship campus. That's the reason why, because we're stuck with these things.
They're using Face ID to mouse around.
Or Wacom tablets and design lab.
Maybe it's like soccer. They're not allowed to use their hands, so they have to like use their noses or something.
I just use a trackpad now. I can't do it.
Well, I just got, you know, I actually do have like boxes of like cheap mouses. I have one really good I'm still a mouse person, so I have one good Logitech mouse, but every time it's on sale on Amazon for like $8, I'll buy a couple more like Microsoft mouses because you plug them in, they always work, and just this simple bar of soap cheap design is just kicks the butt of every Apple mouse since the one that shipped with the Mac SE or the Mac 2, whatever it was.
Interesting, I don't know, criminology on Angela Ahrens. Of course, we'd heard rumors that maybe she was next in line to replace Tim Cook. Here's a big profile. I mean, she's been kind of hidden for most of her time at Apple, but here's a big profile on BuzzFeed News. Angela Ascendant, meet the woman who wants to change the way you buy your iPhone. The mall is dying, but Apple's retail chief Angela Ahrens is reimagining the company's stores anyway. Incidentally, article by the same woman, Nicole Nguyen, who got the iPhone 10 a week ahead of time. No coincidence. Or is it perhaps just a coincidence?
He's probably on their Apple beat.
Yeah, well, and wouldn't be the first time a publication would trade a cover story for access. Not saying they did.
Well, you know, if next time I visit really your office, am I going to see one of those cork boards with newspaper clippings and photographs with red
Come
screen?
Come on, Andy. This is obvious.
Okay.
Come on, Andy. You're not going to continue to deny that there's any attempt to influence
Apple really likes BuzzFeed. And John Pachowski, I think, in particular, since he went there from Recode.
I will also say that a lot of this is relationships. I'm not saying schmoozing. I'm saying that some people just have a very, very good positive relationship with Apple.
Yeah.
Again,
and I choose not to have a relationship with companies I cover. I feel that that's a conflict of interest.
Independent from whatever they write positively or negatively. I'm just saying that they are.
I know.
They have Apple knows what is the worst disaster that can happen if we let Renee have an iPhone early. And they know that actually it's pretty much up here. That's the worst that can possibly happen.
Neil gets his iPhones before me, and like his reviews are fantastic, but Apple knows what they're going to get.
Yeah, and right. Neil is very critical. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's based on who's going to be kind necessarily, but look, there's, you know, Steve Jobs cultivated Walt Mossberg for years. Even Walt knows that and admits it.
I will tell a story about Walt that now that he's retired, it will maybe embarrass him in a positive way. I was once at an Apple event where an Apple person was just chatting amicably with an Apple person, as we all do. And that Apple person saw that Walt had his iPad mini with this absolutely looked like someone had given birth on top of this red leather cover. It just looked horrible. And he immediately took the red cover off of his own iPad and offered like to swap it with him. And like was kind of pressing it into Walt's. Like, Walt said, nope. I cannot accept a free cover
for you.
Yeah,
Walt's very good about that. Covers. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've often wondered, like, if Steve Jobs were calling me, you know, God forbid, at 2 a.m. or like David Pogue, it's like I have to admit that especially like during the 90s when I was younger, more starry eyed, like, oh my God, isn't it nice I'm being woken up and yelled at by Steve Jobs? If only my 12 year old me could know about this. At some point, I would say, Steve, This is very inappropriate. I really, if you email me, I know how you use email.
And again, I am not saying Apple shouldn't do this. They're completely within their rights and probably right to do it. If I were a shareholder, I might feel that they're doing exactly what they should do. I'm just saying people should be aware of this and consider this when
but
they.
It's also what Andy said with audiences. Like there are audiences that they absolutely seem to want to reach. Like Verge, I don't know, because maybe they think the Android switchers are paying attention or something, but there are audiences that they seem to find much more attractive.
Right. Angela Arendt remains in the trenches until 3 a.m., floating between the groups, making sure everyone is fired up. The war room's server activity chart ticks abruptly from green to red under a flood of incoming phone orders. This is what's going on, by the way. If you wondered what's going on during the midnight operation when they're ordering all this stuff, Angela is making sure everyone's fired up like a politician on election night. She smiles and shakes hands the whole time. Then a cheer erupts. Transactions per second. Here's the war room.
This must be so fun and so stressful.
This is for the iPhone 8 orders. One of the things, I love it, there's a quote from Angela Arendt saying when they hired her, Johnny Ives said, "You can do anything you want to the store, but don't touch the tables. They're sacred." Apparently the store tables are the same as the tables in the design center at Apple. And he loves it that the products go from the design center tables to the store tables and that they're identical. In a different life, Arendt could have been a pastor. Here she is preaching at the Chicago River Apple Store. You wonder if there's some grooming going on for Ms. Arendt. There have been rumors, which she has denied, that she's in line to take over for Tim Cook. Tim isn't close to retirement age, but he's got, I think, 7 years before he's 65. But nevertheless.
I think he said it well, where he said he's prepping a bunch of people, which I think is what Steve Jobs did, where you see Jeff Williams is clearly being prepped. Angela Arendt is clearly being prepped. And there's several other people who probably aren't as well known.
But if you wonder who has the inside track, it's going to be the person Apple allows to have the most public presence. Because they want
Scott Forstall had an amazing profile.
Right, until he disappeared.
He was no more,
until he disappeared. Yeah. He had too much of a profile. That was the problem.
Such a delicate tightrope.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. iPhone sales in China showing a real bump. This was a problem area for Apple. Six consecutive quarters of decline, but then comes Q3 2016, and boom, 40% growth in iPhone sales. So that's very good news for Apple, because that's the big market. That's where the growth, all Apple's growth is going to come from at this point, is markets that are, the iPhone's new to.
And the BRIC. Is it Brazil, Russia, India, China?
Yep. So very good news for Apple. And this is pre-iPhone 10. My guess is iPhone 10 is practically aimed at the Chinese market. This could be very popular there. As expensive as it is. Yeah, by the way, this is interesting you mentioned Scott Forstall. This is the anniversary of the day Scott was forced out of Apple. Or yesterday. Mm. Yesterday. Day before yesterday. October 29th. Oh, look, I can enter to win a new iPhone 8. Too bad. I don't want that anymore. That's the old phone. 2012. Has it been that long? 5 years ago? Wow.
Yeah.
We haven't seen green felt on a phone since then. Wow.
Mr. Skeuomorphic.
Did you see the wonderful interview that was the Computer History Museum did with him? Where he's like, I've never heard the word skeuomorphic. It was photorealistic. And you're like, just from behind the scenes, that was not his jet that had those stitched leather seats. Like, we should remember that. Scott was an implementer.
We should mention that Scott really hasn't, I guess he had enough stock that he probably doesn't have to work. He co-produced a Broadway play. He's advising Snapchat. He's given a couple of press appearances, including several interviews to mark the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. But he's, as far as we know, he's enjoying life and spending time with his family.
I mean, he had next stock, right?
I think he probably doesn't have to go back to work.
He's spending more quality time with his money.
Yeah. Ming-Chi Kuo, it's time to start the rumors for the next iPhone.
Ready, set.
Ming-Chi Kuo says 2018 iPhones unlikely to have a rear-facing true-depth camera system. Kind of following along what I was saying, which is they put the fancy stuff on the wrong side of the phone, at least in terms of augmented reality. He doesn't think they're going to turn it around. We do not. This is, by the way, analyst in an analyst note, KGI Securities, and this is so that investors can plan their investments. Based on assumptions, we do not expect the second half 2018 iPhones to come with rear true-depth camera 3D sensing, contrary to market expectations. Apple needs to quickly resolve two issues if it wants to have a rear camera: the development of AI and AR kit software and an ecosystem, which takes time. Well, yeah, okay, that's a chicken and egg. You know, people are going to develop it. If you build it, they will come. And two, and this is probably the real problem, achieving stable shipments and on-time shipping, challenging due to the higher spec requirements of a rear true-depth camera. In other words, they've been rumored, and Ming-Chi Kuo was the chief rumorer, to have trouble getting this iPhone out because of the Romeo and Juliet face modules.
It's really hard to see a timetable from them wanting to put true depth on the other side of the camera, because face ID is classic Apple. It's, here is something specific, here's a feature that we want to do, and having a 3D sensor is how we will do it. And they're not a company that would say we will have the ability to have 3D presence or 3D imaging on the other side of the camera. We don't know what app needs what app will have to take advantage of that. We don't know who has been clamoring for this, but we hope that people will find something awesome to do with that. They're not going to waste the engineering. They're certainly not going to waste the space inside the phone for something like that until they know how they can sell that to people.
And by the way, as somebody in the chat room quite correctly points out, Ming-Chi Kuo deals with fiscal year 2018, not calendar year 2018. But I'm too dense to do the math. But so it could happen in our 2018. Late, though.
I mean, you say 3 months, I say 3 months. Just put the difference between us.
Apple, when Reuters inquired how are those iPhone 10 sales going, said, we could see from the initial response, customer demand is off the charts. I think it was reported that within 20 minutes, if you didn't get in the first 20 minutes, and of course I wasn't able to get in for about that long. Vice says you didn't get it on November 3rd. They call that sold out. That's not really sold out, but it just means you're not going to get it on the first day. And that happened very, very quickly. It feels about as fast as any big new release of an iPhone, yes?
A little bit faster, I think. I was checking about a half hour after 3, and there was just no way. If you were indisposed at 3:01 a.m., you may not be able to get the color and the capacity you want, but you could still get it somehow, right, somewhere.
Right.
So this, I would say that it certainly sold faster. It's still a bummer if you forgot that this was the morning. It's still a bummer if you got a good night's sleep that night.
Google's YouTube TV is one of the best cord-cutting, one of the best cord-cutting offerings, over-the-top local channels, built-in DVR. It has started to roll out now on the big screen, finally, Xbox One, Android TV, and, according to YouTube, someday soon on an Apple TV near you. Not yet, but soon.
Soon.
Still
waiting on Amazon. How soon is this stuff coming?
In the coming weeks, Apple TV, Roku, and smart TVs from Samsung, Sony, and LG. Yet Amazon, no.
Take my money. They already have my money. They don't care.
I like a YouTube TV. I don't think you can get it in Canada, probably.
Not yet, no.
Yeah. But it is, of all of the over-the-top offerings like Sling TV and Sony's PlayStation View, there's a ton of them. AT&T has one, DirecTV Now.
Amazon Prime, and I do AirPlay it to my Apple TV, but I got so frustrated, I just bought it on iTunes. Right. I would have much rather just watched it when it came out. Yeah. And now I'm looking to watch next on Amazon, and they just haven't put it out yet. So,
yeah. That's the one kind of media that still frustrates me. where I feel like I have to really choose one box for every important TV inside in my house, because I've got an Apple TV in the bedroom, I've got an Android TV in the living room, and there's just, oh God, that's right. I can get Amazon TV on this one, but not the other one. I can get iTunes on this one, but not the other one. I've got iTunes credits that I can apply to the season. There are TV seasons that I would have bought if I could have bought them on iTunes and played everywhere, because I've got like between gifts and stuff like that. I got like $130, $140 in there that's just sitting there doing nothing. But I don't really want to spend real money for Gold Rush if I can just spend $30 and get. It's a mess.
See, that's why I love that new everything, everywhere, whatever service it is, because there are vertical and horizontal lock-ins. And Amazon Prime for Apple TV is a perfect example of abusing a horizontal lock-in, because I bought this movie and I can't watch it where I want to watch it. Even if, like, regardless of whether you made the device or not, you're not putting your service where I want it. But with that new, I think it's Disney is the only holdout. You buy something on one platform and then you can play it on another platform. I think that's getting closer to the solution I really want.
Have you seen this, Renee? Some models of the Apple Watch Series 3 have a rose. I don't see it on mine. Small stripes along the side of the watch's display. Especially,
no, I saw that the update said it fixed that, but I've never seen or heard about that happening.
So the update does fix that.
Which is nice, because, you know, like, there are certain things you can't fix with a software update. That would be really bad.
Yeah.
But if it's software fixable, then that's good.
In other words, not a screen problem. It's something to do with the rendering of the.
And at iMore, I think we have like 13 of these watches between us.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't appear to affect the cellular version of the device.
Okay, maybe that's why.
Because of the built-in antenna, apparently. So there you have it. All right, let's take a break. Your picks as we wrap this up. It's the iPhone 10 is here. The iPhone 10 is here. iPhone 10 day. Andy, yours comes Friday.
Friday, yes.
You lucky dog. Mine comes in a few weeks. But I have to say, I already ordered a couple of different cases, just because, you know, one must have as many cases as one has Apple Watch bands. It's just the way of the world. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. 28% of the world's websites run on WordPress, including mine. I used WordPress for years as a self-hosted solution and love it. And recently I moved to WordPress.com, and I'll tell you why I made that switch. As much as I love running my own server, I didn't save any money. WordPress.com actually saves me money over the cost of a server, plus not to mention the time updating and patching and all that stuff. And I just have to say, WordPress.com just does it right. It's all ready. It's all running. It's beautiful. And, you know, this is good news if you have a business and you don't have a website. Don't be that guy depending on Facebook or Twitter to reach out to customers, because you don't own those. And people have learned to their horror and dismay that they're not the best way to put your name out there. Sure, you should have a Facebook page for your business. You should have a Twitter account, but it should all point back to your fabulous website at WordPress.com. No, I know you say, I don't want to do it. It's too much work. I don't want to be a web guru. No, you don't need experience. You don't need to hire someone. WordPress.com guides you through the entire process from start to finish, and it looks great. They take care of all the technical details, so you get your site up and running and focus on what you want up there, the pictures, the images, your menus, perhaps, your prices, your services, your employees. They have a wonderful, beautiful designs you can choose from. It's easy enough to change anytime. You get built-in search engine optimization and social sharing. It's no surprise so many sites run on WordPress. In fact, some of the biggest publications in the world run on WordPress.com. Their business plans let you access hundreds of plugins and themes. You can even install your own themes and plugins now. And what a great customer support team. I just love these guys. Eager to help you get the most from your site. 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and they're there on weekends too. Plans start at just $4 a month. You got to see what WordPress.com has to offer. It is modern. It is easy. It is fast. It's very affordable. And right now, you can make it even more affordable when you go to WordPress.com/MacBreak. Save 15% of any new plan purchase. WordPress.com/MacBreak. If you don't have a website for your business, you're missing out. You got to get one. And don't don't be distracted by the fact that the guy telling you this is wearing a weird hat and a funny bow tie. I know I've lost all credibility today, but you got to do it. WordPress.com/MacBreak. Andy Anatko, your pick of the week.
My one pick this week is App Camp for Girls, latest fundraiser. Mm. They're trying to raise $75,000 to expand their program to 3 brand new cities. If you haven't heard about App Camp for Girls, this is what the name says. It's an app camp for girls, typically in 8th to 9th grade, an entire week in which they learn pretty much everything you would need to know as an app developer. They're building a Hello World app on day one, and then they break into teams to develop whatever app they can think of and want. They do every single piece of it themselves, including the artwork. They also learn how to market. They learn how to get things on the App Store. They also learn to get away from the nuts. There are snacks and lunch there, but they learn to leave the computer and eat snacks elsewhere. They learn to like do yoga and stuff so that they don't like get back and arm problems. And it really is such a wonderful, powerful experience. Again, it lasts all week long, I kind of wish that I could go to an app camp for girls type place for middle-aged grumpy men. But being middle-aged grumpy men, we'd probably we'd just be complaining to each other. But it's such a positive thing. They have such a wonderful mission. They've been doing this for years, and they just continue to go from strength to strength to strength. They have some really cool rewards. You can go anywhere from getting a wallpaper pack or a mixtape of music, featuring, of course, the double clicks, to posters, to notebooks, to T-shirts. I really can't recommend these people enough. I know a lot of the people who are active volunteers and active
like Kelly Guimont right there. Yeah.
Like Kelly. And these are all just the finest people you want to meet. And you just feel that the people, the kids who get to be with these adults, these wonderful women, are just so lucky to get that kind of experience. They're getting kids at exactly the right time, the time when they might have an interest, but they don't know what they want to do with that interest, or they have an interest and they're at that age where some other forces could slap that interest down and tell them you shouldn't be writing software or just giving them a bad experience. This is the sort of experience that will get them to say, "Mom, Dad, I don't want to go to college. my social platform is about to really catch on fire. We want to try to raise $60,000 of funding for some more AWS services, and we really think we can go to Series A financing by the end of what would be my sophomore year."
I love that. You're going to scare people off. App Camp for Girls. This is a great thing. Gene McDonald founded it, and I love the idea. And they want to expand to 3 new cities, and that's what they're trying to raise money to do. Yep.
They haven't chosen the cities yet. They're going to use the money to figure out where the need is, where the demand is. But they're already all over the country, and they just want to continue to do their good work elsewhere. Such a good place for your money, and it's tax deductible. This is not just buying an album or funding a movie.
Yep. Renee Ritchie, do you have a pick? I know you're a little tired. You've been up all night.
No, I do. So the only downside is I'm so tired I might have actually picked this before and just don't remember. But in the off chance I didn't, there are several inductive charging pads available. Sadly, none of them are as good as the WebOS one, the Touchstone that I had in my utes. But this one I like. I've been testing a lot of them, and some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller. Some of them feel a little bit more magnetic, some of them feel a little bit less magnetic. Some people have complained that you don't put it down correctly, it won't charge. If you nudge it off, it won't charge. If you get a lot of notifications, it will eventually buzz its way right off the charging pad. But the Belkin one, sorry, not Belkin, the Mophie one is the one I've had the most luck with. I can't get it in the shot here. Oh, there we go. And I realize I'm recommending 2 Mophie products in a row, and it's not intentional.
No, that's okay. We do like Mophie, yeah.
But you put this on, it does give you that nice magnetic thump when you do put it, when you do set it up, and it stays on. And I don't get a lot of notifications. I have 99% of my notifications turned off because I just, you know, I'm human. But this has stayed put. I haven't been nudging it off. It's small enough that it doesn't take up a huge amount of space on the side table. I don't knock it with, you know, the blanket or the comforter when I'm turning around at night. And it has not vibrated itself off. Now, if you do continuously get Game Center alerts, ba-da-ba-bum-ba-bum, it might eventually move itself off, or, you know, if the phone is ringing or something, it might. But I've had very, very good luck with it. And I know some people have been complaining that they have not had that much luck with their charging pad. So it's, I think it's like $40, $50. I don't know, because I bought it in Canadian funds.
This is a round one. So I see a square one from Mophie. So let me see if I can find the rest. That's not it, right?
No, and this isn't a charging pad too. It's not a battery pack. So
no, this is a Charge Force wireless charging.
I have not tried that one. Huh. I have only tried the little round one.
Okay, so get the round. This is the one Apple sells in their store, right?
Yeah, and it'll work with your. I mean, I've used it with iPhone 8 Plus. I've used it with iPhone 8. You cannot charge iPhones through each other, by the way. It's not charging all three of these right now. But I've used it with all of these, and it has been fine with all of them. iPhone 10 is nice because it, like the Bel, like the Mophie, Belkin makes the other really well-known one, but like the Mophie, it is small. So when you put them both together, it has a very small profile. Whee! All right. God, I have no spatial skills.
Get it from Apple. Although, as I've said before, I really like the easel ones. I find those are the ones that are easiest to hit and don't vibrate out of it. That's what I use every night, and I have for years. The Tilt View VU,
and the Touchstone was nice. It was like at a 45-degree slope.
The Touchstone, really
magnetic.
Yeah.
I missed that.
People have complained for years about cheap chargers and phones rolling off of them.
My old boss, Dieter Bohn, I think he stuck them in his car. Like, he just put his phone on the car as soon as he came in.
Dieter used to really work at Mobile Nations, or you used to work for Dieter?
He used to work at you. He was the original editor-in-chief at Mobile Nations.
I didn't know
he hired me.
Oh. Yep.
He's responsible for me annoying everybody in the world today.
Well, he has very good taste. And that wraps up MacBreak Weekly. I'd like to suck up to Mr. Rene Ritchie at iMore.com because he's got an iPhone 10. Maybe he'll let me touch it someday.
Yes.
iMore.com that has the full 10,000-word first look review from Rene Ritchie, plus a very useful page on controls and you know how to use it. So when you get your iPhone 10, you want to hi-thi to iMore.com even before you get it. If you're interested in anything Apple or others, they've got great coverage of all kinds of technology. It's iMore.com. And don't forget the iMore podcasts, which you'll find in the menu there on the side, because they, I think, no, you won't.
No, they keep moving those things around.
Darn Nation? Where is it now?
I think it's iMore.com/podcasts.
You have to know the URL.
And I was dressed up in last week's I Am War show.
That's good.
That's
good.
Yeah.
It's an audio show, so you could say that.
Yeah.
No one will know.
No, we did it on video.
Oh, you did it on video?
I was dressed up as my Pokemon Go character.
Nice.
With the Magikarp hat and everything.
When did you start doing these in video? Or have you always done
it? No, we did it just for the once in a while. We do it if we really have to show something
just
off.
Just because you want to show something.
Yeah, and Micah Sargent was Gandalf because you cannot pass. Yeah, and Lori Gill was Gilligan, and at one point the skipper walked by, and we still don't know how she arranged that.
Very nice. iMore Show 577, Treehouse of Pre-Orders 10. I like it. Andy Anaco writes for the Chicago Sun-Times. Look for his thoughtful think piece all about the iPhone 10 sometime in the future.
Yep. And my iPhone 8 review will be up shortly. I decided that I wanted to get my hands on the iPhone 10 before I made final conclusions about the iPhone 8. So that'll be probably next week.
I think I admire your long form, as Stephen Levy calls it, slow journalism. It's good.
You got to make a choice between what do you enjoy doing, what do you think you can do best. I can't do quick news and quick takes very well. No. Other people can do that very well and very valuably. I can't, and I don't want to do it. So
CWOB.com is the great website. You can also find Andy's fabulous podcasts there. He does several. The Material podcast is about Android, amazingly enough. That's on relay.fm.
I so desperately need to update that. Yeah.
5x5 Studios has the Anaco Almanac.
That's on Relay, too. That moved.
Oh, that moved. So that's what you're talking about then when you say, I desperately need to update that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm an ace at self-promotion. I update the website about every 4 years.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
Every
I was just looking at doing the ad for WordPress, looking at my website saying, gosh, I haven't posted since August. Yikes. I got to get to work.
Why am I getting so many speaking requests? Oh, that's right. Because when you updated the site 3 years ago, you added, by the way, I do speaking. If you want to contact me, here's the email address. Oh, I should have done that years earlier.
Flickr.com/AndyI as well. That's his great Flickr feed. Always fun there. And follow him on Instagram too. IHNATKO and Twitter. Thank you, everybody. We do Mac Break Weekly right after iOS Today. It's an all Apple morning on Twit on Tuesdays starting 11 a.m. Pacific for Mac Break Weekly. iOS Day starts at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. Next week, it'll be 1900 UTC because finally daylight saving time is ending this weekend. And that means the show moves because we follow the clock. So we'll fall back an hour. So 1900 UTC, you can figure it out from your particular time zone. If you want to watch live, twit.tv/live is the stream. You can join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. But of course, we make on-demand audio and video available for all of our shows at our website, twit.tv/mbw. Or subscribe. Any of the podcatchers will do. Overcast, Pocket Casts, iTunes, Podcast. Just pick one and subscribe. You don't want to miss an episode. We'll see you next time. Now, my friends, I'm sorry to say, time to get back to work because break time is over. Bye-bye.